I'm preaching again this morning.
They are lucky to have you.
Well, it's something I am very grateful for.
Good morning, Diane.
Hi, Paula. How you doing?
Good, thank you.
I don't see you today. You not on video?
No, not on Sunday mornings.
Not on Sunday, okay.
Too early.
It's pretty early. I mean, I get up early, but I'm not pulled together at all.
Well, we don't care.
I know.
I know you do, right? It's good to hear your voice.
Thank you.
Earlier in California.
Yeah, at least three hours earlier.
Yeah, that's true. Okay.
All right. Let's see. I think we're just about to have a quorum here. Gregory just signed in. Barbara signed in. Bonnie's here. Rhonda's here. Paula's here. Lua's here. Russell's here. John's here. I'm here. What did they say sometimes at AA meetings? We're all here because we're not all there.
Yeah, imagine that.
That's the truth for sure.
This is true.
I like that. We're all here because we're not all there.
Uh-huh. I like that too.
Okay, we got a couple of last minute arrivals here. Okay. If our class is anything like...
There's a tool to fit every nut.
What's that?
And there's a tool to fit every nut.
Yes.
Are you recording,
sir? Yes, I am. Thank you for reminding me. Okay. Let's everybody just kind of settle into your space with a bit of love and gratitude. And maybe even a little expectation. Expectation is fine and it's a wonderful form of energy. If we don't get too locked into the form we think the expectation is supposed to make. I'm always honored that you're here with me this morning and we're here with one another. The light of God surrounds us, the love of God enfolds us, the power of God protects us, the presence of God watches over us. Wherever we are, God is, and all is well. So does anybody have anything that might be rocking around inside that you want to look at this morning from past work or whatever it might happen to be? Always willing to take that on. I know sometimes after class is over is when some of the questions come around. I forgot to ask about this. So it's perfectly okay to either contact me by email if you want to, or save it for next Sunday. So this is next Sunday. I'm on page 67.
Jerry, I have a question real quick.
Sure.
Quick.
You still there? Oh, then we got frozen out for a minute. Oops. Hello.
Hello.
I think something got shut down for a minute or so.
Can you hear?
Yeah, I can hear you. something's happening. I'm not sure it's happening with everybody.
Can you hear me, Jerry?
Yeah. Diane, you've been kind of fading in and out. You've been here for a minute and then gone. I think she just went offline.
Yeah, something's happening there. And I had noticed that the Larry's iPad one, she was motionless also.
Okay, was that happening with everybody or just a couple of people? Looks like everybody else is on. If you, what do we used to say? If you're not on, say so.
It's kind of blipping around. Blipping is a new word.
Okay, I'm just presuming that everybody else is on, okay? I see you moving. As long as the picture doesn't get frozen up, I see you moving. And so, yes, thank you. So Diane might come back on again in a couple of minutes. I think she might have shut down and then come back again. Okay. We're on page 67.
Hey, Jerry, may I interrupt for just
a John.
Moment? I think one thing I would mention, reluctantly, perhaps. I am a strong believer that if something happened, it was supposed to happen. We planned it. And yet it is challenging to have something like Uvalde happen and to have such a national response to it. And so I just thought I would bring it up. It's certainly affected me and Gina and most people that I had spoken to this week. I thought I'd bring that up as we begin this meeting.
Okay. I appreciate that, John. I certainly don't want to ignore that. Diane, you're back. I think you're on mute.
Can you hear me?
Okay.
Yes.
Oh, may I also add, one of the reasons is that it's affected my family so deeply is that we have family in Texas, in El Paso. I have a 10-year-old granddaughter. It has affected her deeply.
Sure.
And so, you know, it is just a, and to have politicians who just, I feel for them in some ways, because I'm not sure that they, I don't think that they can think clearly about this. So I just thought I'd bring it up. Thank you,
John. And I don't want to ignore what is going on in the outside world or pretend that it's not there. What I'd like to express this morning is that nothing gets transformed unless it is through the energy of love.
Okay.
If it's not, it's not going to work. And so we can not to deny the, let's say, the legal means to be able to start changing some things. But essentially, all the rules and laws are not going to make a huge difference unless the insides change. And then I begin to realize, here's where I need to take my own responsibility, which I've said a number of times before. If it's happening out there, it's happening in here. And so the violence, the terror, the craziness, insanity of it is not just a personal reflection of what's going on in me, but also a personal reflection of what's going on in our racial consciousness. And we all contribute to that in some ways. So I would suggest we keep that in mind, and it will come up probably again sometime this morning. That what are each one of us called to do differently? How are we called to hold this? How are we called to heal this? How are we called to find God in this picture, as horrific as it might seem? I don't have answers to that right now, and all of us are going to answer that somewhat differently than the other people are. We're all going to have our own answer. But I would encourage each one of us, certainly myself included, to be open to the answers or the transformations or the call to action or the call to awareness that is going on. It certainly got my attention. Got yours too. And we're right on the edge probably of playing Ain't It Awful, which is pretty much of a useless game. And the other side of the picture of saying, okay, how do I work on helping to heal this? What is there inside of me that needs to heal? What is there in this world that we live in that needs to heal? And am I willing to go to any lengths to get it?
One thing that happened, a friend, someone I know and love, said to me that they had heard that the mother of the gunman was quoted as saying, "Please don't judge me and my son." And this person was very angry at the mother and said, "Of course I'm judging the mother." And it occurred to me that I wasn't judging the mother, but I wasn't necessarily holding her in love either. And but it was clear to me that this person was holding the mother, was judging greatly. But I wasn't necessarily holding her in love either. I just was neutral. So I needed to change my response.
That's a great distinction to make. Although the Course in Miracles will say there's no such thing as a neutral thought. Mm. That if I decide to be neutral, it's kind of like, well, I don't want to get involved. So I have to kind of agree with, I understand what you're saying, John, because I was in the same, probably looked at myself occasionally as being in the same place. But then I remembered that there's no such thing as a neutral thought. That thoughts, no matter what they might be, no matter how you might classify them, are going out there in the universe and are going to influence everyone and everything. So I'm just throwing that out for something else to think about.
Jerry.
Yeah.
I can see God in these situations. Now I can hear his voice in these situations because the cry from the people to stop this, stop it, is getting louder for me. And that's God's voice to stop. You've got to stop this. Stop. I can hear God's voice now. People are getting stronger. And it's the power, the voice of love is saying, stop. We've got to do something. So I can hear God's voice in this.
Mm-hmm.
And I can see him working.
What occurs to me is that to stop may not be enough. To stop doing something is not the same thing as doing something loving.
True. It's a start.
Yeah.
You might recall an older movie called Oh God with George Burns and John Denver, which is absolutely marvelous if you just even listen to the dialogue. But I remember one of the one-liners that really got me was John Denver is talking to God and say, well, you know, you got to do something about this. I'm not sure what it was that he was talking about. You got to do something. And he said, I am. He said, well, I don't see it. He said, that's why I gave you one another.
Oh.
That's why I gave you one another. Let's look at
that. Oh, I'm sorry, Jerry. One more thing. I am. The whole thing of I am.
Yeah, you are.
Hey, Jerry.
Yes, Jim.
I had wanted to share this at one of the other gatherings, but I couldn't find it, but I found it this morning. And I got this from one of the other Zoom spiritual centers that I attend to. And basically, it just so resonated with me. I'm just going to read it. And I have it now on my bathroom mirror. So I said, I am, Jim, I am the means which God expresses himself as me. And then I have, in parentheses, I am here to grow. So that just so resonated with me, just like I am my personality, this incarnation known as Jim, is the means which God expresses itself as me. There's a surrendering that for me that has to take place, and getting or perhaps letting go of the steering wheel and just allowing God to express itself as me. I don't know what that's going to show up as, but I do know for me, the huge tenet for God, for Jim, is unconditional love for all. And again, I that's what John was saying. I was deeply affected by that because, again, you know, I'm a teacher, and we had conversations the the next day at school regarding, you know, what happened. And there was an incident about just about a year ago at our school. You know, we were able to stifle it, you know, before it became huge. But it just so resonated with me. And just, you know, and again, last thing I just want to say, just in terms of the consciousness within ourselves, you know, there could be laws that pass, and that's a great thing. But there's just a consciousness that, for me, that has to be transformed, a collective consciousness. So, you know, we can go and transcend that which is continues to occur. Thanks.
When we transcend or transform, we are not ignoring the problem, or what we might consider to be a problem, but we are, let's say, raising our vision and our ability to raise our level of consciousness. So we not only can we see that thing in a different light, but we can also raise what is we might term as being fear or anger or hatred. It's like the St. Francis prayer, which is such a marvelous example of getting in touch with and not denying the negative part of our reasoning or our rationale or our soul, right? But saying that anything that we might look at in a negative vibration or a lower vibration can be transformed to a higher vibration. Hate can be transformed into love. Anger can be transformed into compassion. Fear can be transformed into faith. It is such a marvelous piece of wisdom that anything that comes up for you and me that is of a lower vibration can be transformed to a higher vibration. Time and time, time again. The last part of the second paragraph. Oh, sorry.
Oh, Al, quick. It reminded me of the quote by Einstein. You can't solve a problem with the same consciousness that created it.
Exactly. And that's why we're trying to do legally. And that's why it doesn't work.
Right. So it seems like the collective consciousness, till the collective consciousness sees things differently or wants something differently at some higher level, it's just going to go on like this. That's where we have to look within ourselves and the times that we can maybe see that we're holding more anger within us, may about anything. Maybe that puts right. that generation of energy out there.
I'm going to make sure I get this quote correct because I know it's one of Margot's favorites.
Yeah. From Peace I hope Pilgrim, I got it correct.
From Peace Pilgrim.
Where oh, yes.
She said, when enough people reach inner peace, when enough people reach inner peace, there will be no more war.
Right.
Or there will be no more violence. And I will stop seeing it out there because it's not here anymore.
Mm-hmm. Is that why we've got to stop making it political?
Well, I don't know what, you know, it needs to be approached on many, many different levels.
Okay.
I'm not saying to ignore that part. Render to Caesar, therefore, what Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. As I said, not ignoring the political implications and what might be necessary in that particular level, but to begin to realize that that's not going to be the ultimate solution.
It's not.
The ultimate solution is right here.
That's right. It's where it starts.
When you are operating in distortion, your eyes perceive things as they were taught to see. As they were taught to understand. You begin to create more distortion. You are operating an assumption at all times of what things mean. You might recall that from the beginning of A Course in Miracles. The lessons start off by saying, I don't know what anything means. That was a real pain in the neck for me. I'm not sure whether it was for you or not either. Right? And I still kind of wrestle with that. But what it's saying is, as soon as we put a meaning on something, it becomes static. We sort of stopped its evolution and stopped its growth. And not only stopped its evolution and growth, but stopped my evolution and growth in relationship to that. Oh, I've already got you. I've got you categorized. I've got you in a box. I know where you belong. Oh, you're this, you're that, you're this, you're that. And saying, wait, stop. That's categorizing things with your intellect, which might be a nice thing for your intellect to have, right? But it really handcuffs you, stifles you on a spiritual kind of level. Here is a new truth. There is nothing true except the truth. Or as the Course says, only the truth is true. That used to drive me nuts. Jack Poole used to love that quote, okay? And I couldn't stand him because I said, what is that supposed to mean? We will understand this with you as we teach you. If there is a truth, it is always an internal truth. In other words, it lasts forever. It doesn't change. It a new book comes along and say, oh, that's another version. That's a different truth. You probably noticed this already, that most of all the spiritual books we're reading from, no matter what they might happen to be, are in some ways saying the same thing, maybe in different ways.
To say the truth is the truth, Jerry.
Yeah.
To me is, I don't know God's plan. So I don't know the truth. I don't know what his plan is.
There's truth with a small t and truth with a capital T. truth with a capital T is beyond my understanding so far.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I need, you know, I say, here's how I'm seeing the truth right now, but I want to keep the door open for growth and understanding, because I know I don't need to just land there and say, oh, I've got it.
What page are we on again, Jerry?
67.
Thank you.
That is a blade of grass before me, you may say. And that is always a true statement. Now, this next piece is really challenging. So don't try to understand the words, but let yourself go beyond the words if you can. At that moment in time, there was always a blade of grass. The infinite self that is you is present throughout all your incarnations and has been awaiting its opportunity to bloom. And the fragrance of that bloom, which will inform all you meet and radiate as your essence to everyone you may encounter, will become a vehicle of expression and a tool to lift the world you see before you. The way I make this distinction for myself is that there's a difference between a memory and an experience. Let's suppose you had an experience of, let's say you had an experience of unconditional love, where that came to you from your cat or your dog or your husband or your wife or your grandkid. You had an experience, it might have been just a split second, but you had an experience of unconditional love. Now you can go back to that in your mind and say, oh, wasn't that not, like going through a picture album, saying, oh, I remember that. That was a wonderful experience that I had. What the book is suggesting is that experience remains alive within you. And the energy of that experience or the awareness of that experience is something that you can tap into or plug into or align yourself with anytime that you choose. So it's not just something happening up here with a memory. It is actually plugging in to the aliveness of that particular experience that still exists inside you. And so it's saying, please do not confuse the two. It's certainly okay to have a memory of something that's nice to go back to, like that picture in the album. But to recognize the aliveness of that experience is not just a memory, but something that you can align yourself to and experience. You can't wear it out. Oh, I had an experience of unconditional love yesterday. What's happening today? You can't, if you've had an experience of, let's just say unconditional love, for example, it's there all the time. You can't wear, well, I better not think about that too much, or I'll probably wear it out. You can't wear it out. It's there. It's there. It's always there and always will be there. And this last piece, which will inform all you meet and radiate as your essence to everyone you may encounter, will become a vehicle of expression and a tool to lift the world you see before you. Now, each one of us is going to experience that and maybe tap into that experience in a different way. But I want you to know from what this book is telling us, what these readings are telling us, is that each one of us has the capability of raising the world to a higher level of consciousness. Each one of us not only has the capability, I'm going to add something else to that. Each one of us has the responsibility. That's something that goes with this work that we're doing, right? It's nice to be able to take all that in and be able to resonate with and say, isn't that nice? But it also adds to the responsibility. If you are aware enough, he who has ears, let him hear. If you are aware enough, then you are responsible for raising the level of consciousness of this planet. It's not just, obviously, not just your responsibility, the personal you, but that's there. I'm responsible for that. So are you. And I can be grateful for being, it doesn't have to be a burden. Oh, here's another responsibility. I don't need another one of those. I've got too many. That's the little self talking. The higher self rejoices. Oh, and another, it's not just a responsibility. It's an awareness. Take the word responsibility. The ability to respond. I can respond to you in anger or fear or hatred or separation, or I can respond to you in love.
Jerry?
Yes.
So when I get into conversations sometimes with some people who, for lack of a better description, I'll call them fundamentalist Christians, I will suggest that they are focused on Friday instead of Sunday. I will suggest that they are focused on the cross instead of the resurrection. And they don't get it. But I think that this is the point. What are you focused on? Which idea are you focused on? And the whole idea is, what are you, and to me, this is the point. If you do believe in the crucifixion, or that's what your focus is, oh, this is so terrible, this is so terrible, and that's all you focus on. And there are some people who, and I have been one of those at certain times, I focus on tragedies in my life, or I have focused on tragedies in my life. And then I've also focused on times, the best parts of my life, the resurrection in my life. And we can choose. Mm-hmm. We can choose. And it makes a huge difference in what path we choose. I think that's what you're saying.
And also what might be true is that my brothers and sisters who might be more evangelistic in nature might need to focus on Friday. I might need to focus on Friday until I wring that sucker so dry that I finally let go of it and start thinking about Sunday, right? Okay. Because we've done the same thing. Most of our addictions have been that way, yeah. Right? I had to wring this out for all it was worth before I was able to let go of it. So I had to experience that to the depths of my being before I was able or willing to release it or let go or surrender. And that's just part of the process. So, you know, when I see my brothers and sisters and I think, oh, they're lost on Friday and they're missing on Sunday, maybe that's just where they're supposed to be right now. That's a necessary vehicle of their awareness. In going to Chicago, the billboard that we pass, it's double-sided. And every time we pass by, one side says, Jesus is real. And the other side says, hell is real. Okay. And I've often wanted to talk to the person who owns the billboard and say, well, which one is it? Right.
Isn't it true?
Because you can't have both. Okay. Now I realize his or her mindset is just on exactly what that says. But I also recognize the need, if I can call it that, the need to be able to believe that until I don't need to believe it anymore.
Yeah.
And so it's so easy for me to get into that judgmental kind of place, right? Of saying, oh, well, you should be focused on this. And then realize that, you know, for this lifetime, maybe for a couple of lifetimes, I need to be focused on Good Friday before I can even begin to be aware of Easter Sunday. And each one of us has sort of traveled our own pathway through some of that stuff, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. And we needed to focus on whatever it was we focused on until we were able to let go of it or release it.
Jerry.
Yeah.
Responsibility. It says that you say we're responsible for this, take action or whatever. How do we do that? What do we just pray? Do we go out and get into, you know, I don't know how to be responsible for this truth.
I think each one of us is going to have to find our own way there.
Okay.
It might be carrying signs. It might be going to a rally. it might be saying, you know, that doesn't really fit my introverted nature. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to spend an extra 15 minutes of holding the world in love and light and grace and peace.
Okay.
So each one of us is going to have to find our own way there. Okay. And there's no one way.
Hey, Jerry.
Yeah, Jim.
Just maybe piggyback on what Diane was saying, what you had said earlier. I've come to a place in my journey of life that my understanding for me is that showing up and being a part of this experience and other experiences I go to, it's great. It's wonderful. And I certainly enjoy that. But I also recognize that we've been called or we wouldn't be here. And there is a responsibility to move from prayer to meditation into action. And like you said, that's going to be different for each and every one of us. That's why I so just marvel for me, just my quiet and my meditation time, just to asking Spirit what is mine to do. I'm of the place right now that I no longer feel comfortable putting this in a compartment. I'm just uneasy with that. I used to say that I have to take my spirituality out of the closet and just be me, and irrespective to how that makes others feel. It's never my charge to make someone feel uncomfortable, but I also understand that it's my charge in this incarnation for me is to live my truth.
Mm-hmm.
And others to live theirs, whatever that truth is for them.
Right. Thank you, Jim.
Do you think it's our infinite self that knows what to do?
Yeah. And we might have to.
So is that something that's already in alignment with this? It's already chosen. It already is. We choose.
Right now, that can get us into sort of an apples and oranges kind of thing. That, you know, it's sort of the fine line between free will and predestination. You know, as Marianne Williamson put it beautifully one time when she said, God will eventually outsmart your self-hatred. Okay?
Okay.
In other words, you know, the end point, whatever that is, however you want to describe, is inevitable. Right? You will realize your oneness with God. How you get there and how fast or how slow it takes you is all a matter of choice we make. So you see, there's kind of an edge there that we can't quite explain intellectually. That yes, we are all destined to become back to the oneness. That's just part of the trip. How we get there, what we choose to make that happen, the choices we make along the way are part of our own free will and how we are destined to make that choice for ourselves. So it's a little bit of both. And neither one can be completely explained by the intellect.
Jerry, I'm at a point in my life where I'm learning to just to let things unfold. Let it unfold. I don't have to put my hands in there. I don't have to have it done my way and try to fix things and change. I let things unfold and try to stay out of other people's business.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where I'm at today, is learning to be at peace with myself and let God's plan unfold.
And that's your way of dealing with it.
That's my way of dealing with it.
When you lift your world, you also lift the world for everyone. Everyone you will ever meet and those you may never meet. Because as we operate in frequency and we lift above the lower manifestations that mankind has known himself through, the anger, the fear, the violence, we create the opportunity for all things to lift, to be greeted in their true worth, in their knowing of who and what they are. Somebody had a question or a statement.
Jerry, when when the statement that was said, there is responsibility to move from prayer and meditation into action. It's a lot of things I've heard this week. Well, I will pray for them, et cetera, et cetera. But I've also heard the difference between sympathy and empathy is in sympathy, you pass by the person in a hole that is hungry. Oh, I feel so sorry for you. I'm going to pray for you. Whereas in empathy, you take a sandwich to that person and you get down in the hole with them and talk to them. Does that make any sense?
Sure. Because empathy and compassion is a reflection of me knowing I might not be able to relate to the circumstances, but I know what it's like to lose somebody.
Mm-hmm.
I know what it's like to feel a devastating loss. I know what it's like to be confronted with something that seems overwhelming and impossible. And so I'm sitting with you with that sense of, and I'm not patting you on the back or patting myself on the back and saying, honey, I know how you feel, right? Sometimes it's just silence sitting with another person, of mm-hmm. being with them with a sense of empathy and compassion because I've experienced what they've experienced as well.
Sometimes I feel like when people say, oh, I'll pray for you, that I just feel like they're dismissing the situation.
Well, know? Maybe that's the best they can do at the moment.
Okay. All right.
I'm going to need to get into our meditative mode because I'm going to need to leave a little bit early, go upstairs, get settled up there, do a microphone sound check and various other things. So take a moment or so to get yourself comfortable in your space. And it's interesting, my ego is squawking, saying, we didn't cover anything today. Blah, 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 blah. Let's stop that for a minute if yours are doing the same thing and just take a breath. I'm experiencing my brothers and sisters join together in compassion and empathy with a willingness not only to transform ourselves, but a willingness to transform our world. That's pretty big all by itself. So as you settle into your space and breathe, and let your breathing take you, relax you, soften you. And just release for a moment anything you might be holding on to. Even your frustration. Even perhaps some of your helplessness. You say, I release all of my conflicts, whether worldly or otherworldly. I release all of my conflicts into the presence, the unconditional love, and the transformational power of divine consciousness that is both within me, around me, through me, and through everyone and everything. And I ask as I go through this day that when I become entangled in negativity or anger or frustration with the world or some of the people in it, that I allow myself and open myself up to be able, first of all, release all that is negative or to raise it to a higher vibration. And also to emphasize for myself and others, perhaps, that I open myself up to the possibility that there can be a world at peace. And once I open myself up to that possibility, I allow my divine truth to take over in a way that my mind might not be able to understand. But that it is here. It is here. It is here. And know that this sacred space that you have entered into and created this morning is always here. Always here. Always here. So another deep breath, stretch a bit. Open your eyes when you're ready. Thank you all for being here. Thank you all for raising the vibration of our racial consciousness. May you be at peace. May you know you are blessed. Thank you, guys. Have a great week.
You too, Jerry.
Thanks, Jerry.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you, Jerry.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you, everybody. Have a wonderful week.
Thank you, Jerry.
Thank you, Jerry. Everyone, have a good week.
You too. Thank you.
Big hug to everybody.